Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. This is a podcast where we're studying the Word of God. We're working our way through the book of Acts. Today is episode 270. Look at Acts chapter 15, verses 30 through 35. Let's read our passage. So they were sent off and went down to Antioch, and after gathering the assembly, they delivered the letter. When they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Both Judas and Silas, who were also prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and sisters and strengthened them with a long message. After spending some time there, they were sent back in peace by the brothers and sisters to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas, along with many others, remained in Antioch, teaching and proclaiming the word of the Lord. We had the council in Jerusalem, which met to determine the question, do Gentiles have to be circumcised in order to become Christians? That's what had been going on, was that they were sharing the gospel with Gentiles and requiring nothing other than faith for them to come to faith. And some people came to Antioch and said, no, you must be circumcised in order to become a true follower of God. And they were just carrying the tradition of the Jews, because Jews had the requirement that you must be circumcised, and it's a biblical requirement in order to become a Jewish person. And since Christianity was just an extension of Judaism in their mind, the same rules applied. And so a group went from Antioch down to Jerusalem and consulted with the leadership there, the apostles, the elders, the entire church met. They debated, they discussed, they prayed, and they heard from the Lord and said, no, Gentiles do not have to be circumcised in order to become believers. And James suggested, here's four things they should avoid, though. And as long as you do that, then everything will just be fine. So they assigned a delegation, and with Paul and Barnabas and those others that had traveled down to Jerusalem with them, along with some people from Jerusalem, specifically Judas and Silas are mentioned. So verse 30, it says, so they were sent off. That's who was sent off. Paul and Barnabas, Judas and Silas, and probably a bunch of others, and went down to Antioch. Now it says down to Antioch, and it just in our tradition, we look at the map and see that it's south from Antioch to Jerusalem. So you go down from Antioch to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is on a high elevation, so you always go up to Jerusalem. Whatever direction you're going, you go up to go to Jerusalem. So if you're leaving Jerusalem, you're going down. So they say they went down to Antioch. And after gathering the assembly, they delivered the letter. So they gathered the church together. That's the assembly. The assembly, the ecclesia, the gathering of the people. They gathered the church of Antioch together and read the letter from the leaders and Jerusalem. Verse 31, when they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And essentially it said, no, you guys do not have to become circumcised. You do not have to become Jews in order to be Christians. You can come straight to God through faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have to go via the route of Judaism. But they gave them some requirements. Don't eat blood, don't eat things strangled, abstain from sexual immorality. And if you do these things, then you'll be doing okay. Verse 32, both Judas and Silas, who were also prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and sisters and strengthened them with a long message. Now it says Judas and Silas were prophets. That doesn't mean they foretell the future. It means they bring a word from God. And that's what they did, is they encouraged the brothers and sisters. They gave them a long message. It is a long message of the things of God, and everyone was encouraged. Verse 33, after spending some time there, they were sent back in peace by the brothers and sisters to those who had sent them. So who's they were sent back in peace? Because they would really refer to Judas and Silas, because we know there's other people involved. Because verse 35 says, Paul and Barnabas, along with many others, remained at Antioch, teaching and proclaiming the word of the Lord. So Paul and Barnabas, they're not natives of Antioch. Remember, they came to Antioch. Barnabas came from Jerusalem. Paul came from Tarsus. But so they remain in Antioch, but that had become pretty much their home base. But many others remained in Antioch. The implication there is many others who had traveled up from Jerusalem. And so they who were sent back, based on the grammar, would be Judas and Silas. But we got some issues here because we'll see Silas down in verse 40. We'll see that next time, that there's going to be the second missionary trip. Paul and Barnabas are going to go together, but Barnabas wants to take John Mark, and Paul doesn't want to take John Mark because he had deserted them on the first journey. And so Barnabas goes on his own journey with John Mark, and Paul chooses Silas to go with him. Well, if Silas went back to Jerusalem, how'd he get back here at Antioch? Well, verse 36 says, after some time had passed. So Silas could have gone back to Jerusalem, been there for a long time, then came to Antioch, and then joined up with Paul for the second missionary journey. So he didn't list names here. There's just that they were sent back, and many others remained. And that's not necessarily a sticking point, but it was for somebody, because verse 34, you notice I didn't read verse 34, and if you have a modern translation, there is no verse 34. Verse 34 was in the Western text, and it says, but Silas decided to remain with them, only Judas departed. Now, the best evidence is that's not original. That was a later addition. So that's why modern translations don't include verse 34, because somebody thought that was a big deal. Wait, they can't go back to Jerusalem because we need Silas here in verse 40. Well, he didn't specifically say Silas went back to Jerusalem, but he probably did, in which case he could have come back to Antioch at some point later on. So what do we make of all this? Well, from the two perspectives, the church at Antioch and the church at Jerusalem. Now, did the people of Antioch think they were doing anything wrong? No. No, they had seen God working through the people that they were sharing the gospel with. They saw Gentiles coming to faith. They saw them growing in faith. And they even had some leading people from Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas there, encouraging them through all of this. And that's even the reason that Barnabas went there, because it had already started. But they had the history already with the episode of Cornelius in Caesarea, where God had specifically demonstrated that they did not have to be circumcised in order to become believers. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and that was all God's doing. So God had already settled this in many of their minds, and there was no question in Antioch that this was the right thing. It was because of the people who showed up from Judea causing the trouble is what raised all of this. But never did they really think they were doing anything wrong. But they recognized the authority of the Jerusalem church, specifically the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. Even though they're certain they're not doing anything wrong, they're doing what God has already orchestrated. But they do recognize authority within the structure, and so they appeal to the authority of the apostles and the elders. Now, from the Jerusalem church perspective, these are where all the Jews are, and they're the ones that are so steeped in this tradition of you've got to come through the doorway of circumcision. So this is a hard step for them because of their own tradition, because of their own ideas of what they are used to within Judaism. And also, this actually goes against their own self-interest because this will create problems for them with other Jews. And as they continue to evangelize Jewish people, they're going to become known as those people who accept Gentiles without circumcision. It's going to create problems for them in Jerusalem. But they set aside their own self-interest. They set aside their own traditions. They set aside their own things that what they personally are comfortable with and are obedient to God, and they seek God in all of this. So both churches are being commended in that the Antioch church, even though they don't think they're doing anything wrong, they're sure they're not doing anything wrong. They still recognize the authority of the apostles and the elders. And the Jerusalem church, even though this is not in their best interest, even though this is something many of them are probably not very comfortable with, they default to be obedient to what God has clearly demonstrated. So both churches are to be commended on this as they come together for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through the book of Acts.